It's WrestlePod, the Troopany Show, with your host, James Troopany.
Hello, and welcome to the Troopany Show. My name is James Troopany, this is my show, and today we are looking at King of Pro Wrestling, New Japan's fine show from Sumo Hall in Tokyo. Our last weekend, well, for us as we're recording this, and probably 2 weekends ago for you. And my guest today, Mr. Alex Edwards of no particular abode at the moment.
Yeah, I'm just sort of floating around, showing up here every now and then.
Freelancer, as we like to say. That's the one. There you go. And also, Miss Chelsea Spolin of shouldersup.net. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much. I've had a long weekend, though. I was gigging in the Scunthorpe Rock Open last night, which is something Alex will probably appreciate more than you, Chelsea. Because Alex has heard
of
Scunthorpe.
Is that a particularly long drive?
No, it's 15 miles away. But you, Alex, what's the reputation of Scunthorpe outside of North Lincolnshire?
It's not too great.
There you go. And it's their annual band competition. I ain't played in it for about 15 or 20 years. And we thought we'd give it a crack last night. And it was fun. We enjoyed ourselves. Didn't get anywhere, but we enjoyed ourselves. It was nice. And thank you to all any new fans of Sheriff Lone Star and the Deputies of Heartbreak. Of course, I didn't play. Sheriff Lone Star did. Nudge, nudge. Wink, wink. And then this afternoon, I was at a civic service, which is the way my life goes. So I was at a rock show last night, and I was at a civic service today. It's wearing the same suit, actually. And now I'm recording about New Japan Pro Wrestling with two of my favorite people in the world. So we'll take a short break there. We'll take a short break there, and we'll be back in a minute to talk wrestling.
WrestlePlus.com is the brand new home of incredible online wrestling content, featuring uncensored shoot interview classics, full series of WrestleTalk TV and British Wrestling Weekly, exclusive documentaries, British wrestling's biggest names before they were stars, an incredible podcast collection, up to 90% off merchandise offers, and the brand new Power Slammed e-magazine forwarded by Finn Martin himself. WrestlePlus has thousands of hours of content with new and exclusive releases added regularly. You can join today for the stupidly low price of just £4.99 a month. Wrestle Plus, because this is wrestling.
Welcome back. Now, New Japan King of Pro Wrestling is considered one of the big shows of New Japan's year. It kind of sets up the run towards Wrestle Kingdom. I kind of described it the other week as kind of their Royal Rumble without the 30-man-ness in it. It's an interesting and varied show with an absolutely stunning main event, which we'll get to in the end. Chelsea, what was your overall opinion of the show?
Oh, man. I really liked it. And yeah, without really knowing that much about King of Wrestling, like the event and its history, I totally got the vibe that it was like a Royal Rumble level of prestige right away. This is a stacked card, and there were a lot of really, really great matches. I enjoyed it a lot.
What about you, Alex? What do you think of the overall over?
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to agree. Every match on the show was at least good. And yeah, like you said, it was a big show to set up Wrestle Kingdom, and it did just that. We've got a good idea of what we're going to be seeing in January now, I think, and yeah, I think everything delivered, and it was a really good show.
Okay, then we'll go match by match today, because there was lots of interesting things on the undercard. Normally we kind of skip through these things, however there was too much good stuff to ignore this time, so we're going to go through the whole card, all 10 matches, including the dart match, which was awesome. There's some politics going on here as well, which me and Alex were talking about just before Chelsea joined us, so we'll join her in the conversation. Tiger Mask W defeated Red Death Mask. This was a match based upon the new Tiger Mask anime series, which has been shown in association with New Japan Pro Wrestling. And Tiger Mask W versus Red Death Mask was a very, very good match indeed. And then you realize the people involved, and you know why. So we're not going to kayfabe it. We're going to tell people who they are. So if you want to like live in the moment and watch the show and not be enamored by all this wrestling stuff, come back in about 2 minutes. Okay, so this was Kota Ibushi versus CJ Parker, otherwise known as Juice Robinson, New Japan regular and former Dojo member. And of course, Kota friggin' Ibushi. and this was amazing for the this has to be not just the best opening match of the year, because it'd be possibly the best opening match of all time. Both in character, both played their characters exceptionally well. This was just so much fun. What did you think of it, Alex?
I thought it was great. We were just talking before we started recording about how it's fun to see matches like this where things are sort of taken a bit less seriously, I guess. And we were sort of comparing it to what we'd see in like Chikara or something like that. And I really enjoyed it. I thought the fact that they've got a new anime and then they've actually brought the anime characters to life and put them in the ring, and then they're actually having a serious match with Kota Ibushi in it. It's just, it's really weird to think that that's something that's actually happening. but then you look at the match and it's like, yeah, this is absolutely fine. This is a good match, and you've got nothing to sort of say, oh, you know, why'd they do this? The thing I found the most funny about it, though, was Ibushi just wasn't trying to hide that it was him the whole time. Nope. He was just, even though he was in there in full costume, full mask, everything, he was just doing his regular signature moves, just doing a Kota Ibushi match, just wearing a tiger mask. It was weird to watch, but it was really fun.
Chelsea, what were your thoughts on this piece of fun?
So I have not seen that many Kota Ibushi matches, but I knew it was him like immediately. and because, I mean, as Alex said, he was doing all his regular repertoire, which is awesome. He's great. And that mask looked like it was kind of uncomfortable. But yeah, I think this was a really cool way for them to promote the anime that they're making. Is the anime on the New Japan Pro like online streaming thing, or is
it is.
Real Japanese TV?
I think it's on, Alex.
It's on Japanese TV, and you can also get it on Crunchyroll in America and over here, I think. But I'm not sure if it's on New Japan World or not.
That's really cool. Especially if it's also on Crunchyroll, so you can watch it over here. That, to me, says a lot about how hard New Japan Pro is trying to find new avenues to get their product into. Like, I know they've done some animated things before, but the fact that they kicked this off with this match, and that, you know, they got Kota Ibushi to be in it, says to me that they really want people to pay attention to it, which is really cool. Also, I was really happy for CJ Parker, because when he was in NXT, he was kind of slept on, and he was really good in NXT, but he just didn't get to have a big moment where the crowd really, you know, got invested in him. Like, one of the best matches he had in NXT was the match he had against Kevin Owens that was Kevin Owens' debut. Seeing him possibly, I mean, it's kind of a ridiculous, like, he's wearing a costume, but I mean, it was a really good match. So seeing him get to do something that the crowd really reacted to was rewarding for me, because I like that guy and I want him to do well.
This is an interesting side note. When Satoru Sayama, the very first Tiger Mask, debuted as Tiger Mask back in 1983, I think it was, maybe, 83, he was wrestling the Dynamite Kid in his debut. And his mask was supposed to look like Tiger Mask W's mask originally, but it ended up just being like a regular lucha mask. And he was actually crying when he was in the ring. Dynamite said in his autobiography, he was like, "What's wrong?" And he's like, "Look at this." And then, like, the mask just looked terrible. And Dynamite, in his normal, you know, sensitive and empathetic way, "Well, yeah, it's the shits. So let's get on with it." So that was the original Tiger Mask look was supposed to look a lot more like what we see in this match, which I find interesting. And that's a hell of a legacy to live up to as well for Kota Ibushi to come back. Satoru Sayama, all the guys that played Tiger Mask, and the whole Black Tiger legacy as well. And if you don't know anything about New Japan Pro Wrestling, the Black Tiger legacy may be even greater than the Tiger Mask legacy, because Black Tiger 1 was Mark Rollerball Rocco, Black Tiger 2 was Eddie Guerrero, and Black Tiger 3, I think, was Rocky Romero. So, you know, oh, it was Black Tiger 5. There's another two Black Tigers in there as well, who were also very, very good. So you can see, there's a whole legacy of this entire storyline, which has essentially been going on for 30 years now. So it's a big ask, and Kota Ibushi may be that man. But there is, of course, the possibility of him wrestling for WWE, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and anyone else who wants him as an independent contractor in the next 12 months, which should be really fun to see, because he seems to be getting about a bit. And I think me and Alex were talking about this before, because this is really interesting, because normally WWE guys don't go anywhere else, but Kota seems to have got the keys to the Magic Kingdom.
Well, he didn't sign with them for more than just the Cruiserweight Classic. He refused.
Yeah.
He said that in one of the press conferences he did for New Japan Pro, is that they met with him and they offered him a whole bunch of things, and he told them specifically, "I came here to say no." because he didn't want to be exclusive to them.
Yeah.
He's such a weird guy. Like, so he's doing this and playing this anime character in New Japan. Then he's in WWE in the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, now tagging with Cedric Alexander. And then NXT have their show in Japan, I think it's in December. But he's not doing that show. He's doing the DDT show in the same building the night before.
Yeah.
It's just, he's an interesting guy.
Well, considering what happened to Hideo Itami this week, do you want to go to a company that's going to make you wrestle in front of 150 people and get injured?
That's true.
So that's you know, there's a payoff that maybe he's seeing the wider picture. I don't know.
Why does he want to wrestle six times a week when he can do it 2-3 times a week instead for a much bigger payday?
Yeah, and have a pretty much guaranteed shot at the main event on 2 out of those 3 nights. Yep. So, yeah. Anyway, moving on. Chaos, Tomohiro Ishii, Will Ospreay, and Yoshihashi defeated Bullet Club, Adam Cole, Bad Luck Fale, and Yujihiro Takahashi in a 6-man tag, 8 minutes and 40 seconds. Fun and entertaining, I think, is the best way. And the juxtaposition between this match and the next one I find fascinating, because in this one, obviously, Chaos are the faces because it's Bullet Club that they're wrestling. In the next one, which is also featuring a Chaos team, they're the heels because it's a regular army team they're facing. This is the wonderful, what's the word?
Duality?
Duality that Chaos has, and he's able to pull off both equally as well. Yes, thank you, Chelsea. That's right, duality. What did you think of this one, Chelsea?
So Ishii is way over compared to a whole bunch of guys who are way prettier than he is and younger than he is. And that was nice because you don't see that quite as much in other wrestling promotions where sort of like the old school veteran guy is a super over with the entire crowd. And he decimated everybody and it was really nice. Adam Cole is really charismatic and I'm used to him being more over than he was with this crowd. But I mean, the match wasn't really about him, but I think I've mostly seen him in singles matches where it is about him. So that was interesting. And it was cool seeing, like, trying to get a sense of how he fits into the New Japan Pro product, because I mostly see him in Ring of Honor. It felt like there was a build in this match coming towards something between Ishii and Fale.
Yeah.
And that's going to be really cool. I am excited about that. It was also interesting to hear commentary talking about Cole having a higher opinion of himself than Okada. Like, they specifically went out of their way to mention that Adam Cole thinks he's better than everybody. He thinks he's better than Okada. He should be in the main event. Because I thought about it. I was like, wow, if those two had a feud, that would be amazing. You know, even if it was just one or two matches. I think that would be a lot of fun. And what other things did I have in my notes? Will Ospreay is awesome. And every time I get to see him, I get excited about it.
Cool. We'll give a shout out to Alex Watt, Bay, as he can't join us this afternoon. He has family commitments and normally would join us on our New Japan coverage. However, he can't this week, and I'm sure we'll have him back for the G1 Tag Tournament later in the year, because he'll be chomping at the bit to talk about that. So, but yes, as he's the world's biggest Adam Cole fan, I thought I'd mention it there. Alex Edwards, what did you think of this 6-man effort?
I thought it was a fun opening match. I think, yeah, the main thing with it is it just showed how over Ishii is and how much of a beast he can be when he's just in there just beating people up. And it made me just think, that win he had over Okada in the G1, I really want to see him get his title shot. And yeah. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but I really want to see that match again. A match with Fale could be fun. I think it'll be interesting to see this tiny guy who hits really hard against this massive guy who also hits really hard. It'll be a cool little match. Yujiro in this match, it really made me want him to go back to his old gimmick, because I saw him, I was like, so he's lost his cool saxophone music, he's now not got his blonde hair anymore, he's just a guy in there. Yeah, he came out with some girls, but the gimmick is pretty much gone, and he's just a guy. He's just an opening match man, and it's just, it's a bit
kind of lost in the shuffle.
Yeah,
a little bit, and I think that's a problem with a lot of the factions in New Japan at the moment, outside of Los Ingobernables. I think a lot of them have a lot of members that sort of all blend together at some point, and that's especially a problem with Bullet Club, where you just have a lot of guys who you can mix and match up and down the card, and it doesn't really make much of a difference unless you're Kenny Omega or maybe the Young Bucks.
Yeah, no, I understand what you mean.
But for this match overall, yeah, it was a fun opening match, and I mean, Ishii looking like a beast and Ospreay flying all over the place is always fun to see.
Maybe when Mao retired from New Japan Pro Wrestling, stroke was released, she took the magic with her.
Oh, where's Mao now? I need her back.
She's modelling somewhere in Tokyo, I think. But yeah, we need her back. Well, what can you do? All right, we'll move on to the next eight-man tag match, which was Bobby Fish, Ryosuke Taguchi, Togi Makabe, and Tamaki Honma, a GBH regular army mashup there, versus Chaos, Beretta, Jado, Rocky Romero, and Taro Yano. It's just fun. This is the best way to describe this. Really, really fun. It was interesting to see Bobby Fish, the dead serious, just straight up shooter Bobby Fish, in with this kind of company and playing along beautifully with the comedy. It did what it said on the tin. Chaos cheated, the regular army and GBH didn't, and they won. There you go. That wraps it up. Really, it's just does it was cool. What do you think of this, Alex?
Yeah, I think what you just said sums it up. No, right off the start with Yano just spraying his water right into Makabe's face, I just burst out laughing. I was like, oh no, what have you done? and yeah, it was just funny to see Makabe just target him throughout the match. And I'm wondering it may have just been for this match, but the thought of them having a singles feud is a bit daunting. I'm not sure how well that would come off, but
it would be funny.
I can imagine some incredible counters to the spider suplex that I've never thought of. I can see that happening.
Would he even be able to get him up there for it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe just surprise you and just like wrestle a straight match, and then just cheat at the end.
That would be the ultimate comedy.
Yeah,
Yano comes out completely serious.
I was going to say, one of our followers on the YouTube channel pointed out that Yano's character, Joe, who posts a lot when we do the New Japan shows, he said having Yano as a comedy character is an absolute abomination and an offence against pro wrestling because of his MMA and amateur background. And I was like, well, yeah, but he's earning a living, and he wouldn't be if he was a dead serious wrestler. So
he's not throwing his head at the ground.
No.
He's the smartest man in wrestling right now.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, by far and away. Sorry, Alex, carry on.
I was just going to go on to... So after the match, obviously, Rocky Romero takes the pinfall, and we see them tease that breakup of Roppongi Vice again.
Yeah.
Which,
yes.
I guess it could link back to that dark match we were talking about with Tiger Mask W. And do you reckon that if they were to break up, we could see Rocky go back to being Black Tiger, and they sort of go back to that feud?
That sounds like a very good idea. I like that a lot.
Because Tiger Mask W was announced for Wrestle Kingdom. I saw on Twitter like earlier today that he's been announced to be appearing at Wrestle Kingdom. And I think it would be crazy if we could get Tiger Mask W against Black Tiger, Rocky Romero.
Black Tiger 5, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be something else. And I think it maybe works well. Because Rocky, Roppongi Vice have kind of done all they can do in the junior heavyweight tag team division. Even though they've only been together for a year, they've had a lot of success in a very short period of time. And Rocky does need new stuff to do because he's done everything in New Japan. He's been there 11 years. You know, he's been there longer than some of the New Japan guys have. So, like, the Japanese New Japan guys have. So it is like, yeah, if he got something new and fresh to do, I think it'd excite him again. And it would come into it and do something different. Chelsea, what did you think of this match?
I mean, I pretty much agree with most of what's been said. It was fun. I think Makabe going after Yano was really funny at the end when he just, like, stomped out into the crowd and started hitting him. I was surprised at the beginning of this, because I haven't been keeping up with New Japan Pro, just because I haven't had the time, that Jado and Gedo were champions. Like, they came out to announce it at the beginning.
That's from Noah. There was a Noah show, I think, was it the weekend before this one, where they won the GHC Junior Tag Team Championships.
Ah, yeah. That's interesting. Is that to give more, like, giving them championships? They won championships from Noah, right?
Yeah, the Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championships, yes.
Yeah, so is that to promote more crossover between the two promotions? Like, do they normally cross promote each other a lot?
They have done for certainly in the junior heavyweight division for the last 15 years on and off.
So yeah. At the moment, isn't Jado the main booker of Noah?
Yeah.
And Gedo is the main booker of New Japan.
Yeah. They split the jobs between them and help and advise each other, I believe. But I mean,
and then Suzuki Gun, who are like a New Japan faction, are in Noah at the moment. And then obviously you have the crossover that's on this show with the next match and the main event.
Yeah. And I mean, it goes back to, I mean, Shinjiro Itani and Jushin Liger invaded Noah back in 2001, I think it was, and challenged their top junior heavyweights. They went in as heels and just said, "You ain't good enough to beat us." And then had an incredible match with their top junior heavyweights. So it's been around for that crossover has been around for a while. And yeah, it's Gedo and Jado are the world class tag team. You know, that's probably the one junior heavyweight title that's eluded them. They've got the full set now. So yeah, it's probably a bit mean when you're the bookers to do that, I guess. But if you're going to cement your legacy as the greatest junior heavyweight tag team of all time, then why the hell not? Damn it.
You know what? If you run stuff, why not give yourself a nice bonus every once in a while?
And considering the fact they've lost everything for the last 5 years ever since they've been booking, I think they deserve one more run. So that's fair, but fair enough by me. So yeah. Okay then. The next match was an 8-man tag. And this is something you don't get very often. An 8-man tag grudge rematch. Go Shiozaki, Katsushi Nakajima, Masa Kitamaya, Maybach and Taniguchi defeated Hiroshi Tenzan, Manabu Nakanishi, Satoshi Kojima, and Yuji Nagata. In quite the heated affair, these eight had a crack at the G1 Climax Finals on one of the undercard matches and impressed everybody that much, New Japan had to put it on again. And I have to say, it was well worth doing again. It was a lot of fun, and everyone seemed to like they had a really enjoyable time beating the shit out of one another for 12 minutes and 49 seconds. Even Nakanishi looked good in this match, and you know how much I don't like Nakanishi. So, yeah. Alex.
Wait, really?
Sorry?
You really don't?
I don't say I don't like him. He's always been so slow and lumpy.
He's a potato.
Mm. Yeah.
My God, that's so mean.
I always would describe him as a rock that wrestles very slowly, like a rock.
Oh, no. That's sad. I haven't seen that much of him. So I've seen, this is probably my second time ever seeing him do anything. I was impressed with him in this match.
And this is probably the best you'll ever see him.
Yeah. I mean, he won a G1 and an IWGP Heavyweight Championship, and he didn't wrestle much different then 16 years ago as to where he does now. So, you know.
Wow.
But yeah, even he looked good in this. This was something.
He took a suplex. He took a bump.
Yeah, he left his feet.
Good for him.
What did you think, Alex?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, I liked the match at the G1 finals, and doing it again here I thought was good. I'm really liking this feud between like the younger Noah guys and then the New Japan dads. it's fun to see like the older guys, third generation, actually have something to sort of get their teeth into. And I like the story they're telling of this sort of invading force sort of trying to disrespect the company and then the old guard having to step up and defend the honor of New Japan. I think it's really cool. And this match was, really fun. And with Tenzan especially, I think... So earlier this year, I was starting to think, why is Tenzan here? He was just sort of... He was getting a bit slow and just sort of not really doing much. And then you had the thing where he went into the G1 and just did really, he put on some really great performances. And since the tournament back in the summer, he seems to have got motivated again. And it seems like he's trying really hard to have sort of a good final run. And so I'm enjoying it, and I'm hoping that it leads to something further down the road. Maybe at Wrestle Kingdom, he has a big match and that's it, or something like that.
Yeah, I would agree with you that. I think this is, you know, this is showing the worth of what the third generation's about. It's like, you know, the tough old guy you can beat on for hours and they'll still never give up. Even though they lost, they look really strong in this. What did you think of this, Chelsea?
So one of the things I put in my notes is that I really enjoy that when New Japan Pro has those big, everybody gets the payday multi-man matches, it doesn't feel like a waste of time. And in WWE and TNA and a bunch of other promotions I've watched, oftentimes it does. It feels like, oh, why are you putting these guys in this particular match? Is this just filler to get us through the next 20 minutes, you know? And I'm not sure why it feels so different. I mean, it's probably just that the long-term booking in New Japan Pro is, you know, superior to probably everybody else. But this match was a lot of fun. You know, I liked it, even though I wasn't, like, there wasn't something I was super emotionally invested in, but I was still able to enjoy it. I liked the teasing of the tension between Nakajima and Nagata. And commentary saying that Nakajima likes getting booed. I was like, that's interesting. I wonder why they'd say that. So the fact that they had this match and it was fun and it was, you know, easy to, like, there was no super complex story you had to digest. That was nice. And I like that it built towards stuff that they're going to do in the future.
Yeah. It's just like, how can I put it? These guys hate each other. Press go. Basically it, and there's nothing wrong with that from time to time. All right, then, we'll move on to the first championship match, which was for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championships. First of all, we have the Young Bucks, the champions. They defeated Dave Finley and Ricochet in their new team. We have a little bit of politics and law and order to talk about after this match, but the match itself was very, very good. I don't think Finley and Ricochet were quite as sharp as they were when they won the Never Openweight Six-Man Championships last month, but certainly a very good effort from them and mashed well with the Young Bucks. And I like the story of Dave Finley, the rookie, not being good enough to hang with the Bucks, but showing them that he could. Chelsea, what did you think of this?
I love the Young Bucks. I almost feel a little guilty about it because they're so ridiculous, but they're just fabulous. You know, I think it was Matt Jackson who was like, "Your dad sucked at wrestling too, David." I was like, "Oh my God, really? Are you serious?"
I wouldn't say things like that because David Finley Sr. would come down and kick the hell out of you for saying things like that.
Right? And that would be fun to watch. I loved their big finisher. I think it's called More Bang for Your Buck.
Yes.
That was just great. It's one of those cheesy things you just mark for that the Bucks are so good at. Finlay was good, but I wonder if he's missing that, like, X factor that makes you a TV star. And he just doesn't seem to have the charisma that everybody else in this match had. On the other hand, to be fair to him, is anybody as charismatic as Ricochet or the Young Bucks? That's a really high bar. You know, maybe it's just the company that he was surrounded by. He didn't really stand out as much. He seems to be a good babyface. So, you know, I liked him getting into it with the Bucks a little bit and having to prove he was good enough. So that was interesting. But mostly just this match was a lot of fun.
I do like the fact that, yeah, you're right, David Finlay does make a good face when you consider his dad was the best heel ever. It's just genetically, and his granddad was a pretty good heel as well. So it's like, you know, it's strange how these generations developed. He's now the chosen one for New Japan as a fourth generation wrestler. You know, he's the face. I think maybe it was big match nerves, slightly, I think. And also because when you're on the receiving end and you're selling all the time, you're maybe not going to come off as charismatic as you can and should do. I don't know. What did you think, Alex?
See, I'm actually on the opposite side of what Chelsea was saying about the Young Bucks, where I'm not a fan of them at all. I think they have a tendency to sort of fall into just doing silly things just to get a reaction, and that usually comes at the detriment of the match. But this match was different, where it seemed like they were taking it a bit more seriously, and I actually really enjoyed it. I thought that Finlay and Ricochet make a really nice team, and as unfortunate as the situation with Matt Sydal is, I'm actually quite happy that Finlay is now sort of officially Ricochet's full-time partner and we get to see more of these guys tagging. I really like the sort of dynamic of you have, you know, this high-flying, experienced guy with this sort of ground-based younger guy who's trying to prove himself. And I just like how they work together. And I thought this match was really fun. And the story of, you know, the Bucks not taking Finlay serious at all, but him refusing to back down it's simple, but it worked, and I enjoyed it. I thought this was a really good match, and I'd like to see it again at some point.
I did like the matching tights as well, like Finlay's 80s stripper motif on Ricochet's tights.
Better tights than he had the last time. I think the pink works better than the leopard print he had when we saw him last month.
Well, it's pink.
These were leopard print.
Sorry? Yeah, they were leopard
print.
They were like
they were pink leopard print. Pink leopard print. Like orange or whatever.
Yeah, rather than actual leopard print. Possibly off an actual leopard. I'd give him more points if he'd actually skinned the leopard himself, but I think it was synthetic. Matt Sydal, news are coming out of Japan this week. Not confirmed, though slight bits confirmed. Generally feeling, you know, I said last month when I said that Matt Sydal had transport problems, and it was usually a New Japan story just to make sure that they didn't want the guy ever again. No, he actually had transport problems. The only trouble was the transport problems were self-inflicted, and he's currently under investigation for trying to import drugs into Japan, which is something you just don't do ever, ever.
Yeah.
Ever, if you ever want to go back there. And as obviously Matt Sydal probably did want to go back there, that's not going to happen now. This was a bit silly, isn't it, Chelsea?
He's going to have a really hard time getting a visa to ever work there again. He may not be allowed to fly back into the country for any reason, even if it's just for a visit. It depends, frankly, on what specific drugs he had on him and how much of them he had on him. When I was in Japan for study abroad, I had a classmate who tried to get someone from back home to mail him a bunch of weed in a coffee can, and he was deported within 36 hours and had to pay for his own ticket back. And the person who tried to send him the drugs is not allowed into Japan ever. At least that was what we were told. And my classmate, not only did he lose his visa, but he's banned from entering Japan for the next 10 years or something like that. Like, Japan doesn't screw around with that stuff. It doesn't really matter what kind of drug it is. If it's illegal there, it's very, very, very illegal. And frankly, Matt Sydal, for as long as he's worked in Japan, he should have known better.
You'd have thought so. Certainly, and considering, you know, he's been very open about his drug use, which is good, but equally that does mean you have to stop when you need to stop. Handle your high in any form of entertainment or any form of work is one of the things you have to do. Alex, do you got anything to comment on this?
Just that it's really, really dumb on his behalf. I mean, like Chelsea was saying, Japan don't screw around with that stuff, and he really should have known better. And yeah, I mean, if he wants to smoke or whatever, just keep it away for the 2 weeks that you're in Japan or whatever. Just don't. It's not worth it to now lose all work you're going to have in that country, which I'm guessing was a significant amount of his work as sort of a relatively full-time guy for New Japan. He's now lost that, and it's just really, really dumb.
Yeah. And the only other places you can really earn that kind of money is kind of, well, AAA CMLL if he wants to move to Mexico, because otherwise it's not actually worthwhile. If you live in the States and work for a AAA or CMLL, you can earn decent money, but it only really works if you're earning it relative to where you live, you know, because of the way the peso works against the dollar. Anyway, let's move on. Gorillas of Destiny beat the Briscoe brothers rather surprisingly for the IWGP Tag Team Championships in what was a much better tag team match than the Briscoes have been involved in their reign, I think, and certainly the best match Gorillas of Destiny have had since they formed earlier in the year. This was a solid piece of work with good tag team storytelling. It was a bit more Americanized with a bit more hot tag emphasis than some of the New Japan matches we normally watch, which tends to be a bit more back and forth. But technically sound and very, very good. The Briscoes ditched the camo wear this time, went something with slightly more practical. And maybe that was their undoing. But, you know, they were wrestling another team in camo gear, so maybe it also helped them stand out. I don't really know. Alex, your thoughts?
See, that was it, wasn't it? They dropped the Christmas tree wrestling gear, and then suddenly their opponents could see them, and that's why they lost the match.
There you go.
No, yeah, like you said, this match was technically sound, and it was all right, but the crowd really didn't get into it at all. I still don't think the crowd really knows who the Briscoe brothers are, and when you're the champions, that's not a good thing. So I'm glad that the titles are now on someone that, even if the crowd isn't massively into them, they at least know who they are. And that'll hopefully be a plus for this division going forward. And I don't know, after the match, it looked like Ishii was getting in their face. And so hopefully we'll see him and Goto or whoever face them soon, get the titles, and we'll be back on track for a decent tag division.
To be honest, I thought the Briscoes were more over this time than they were last time. But if they weren't getting over, then there's no point in having the belts on them, I suppose, either. So, and Guerrillas of Destiny have come a long way. It was certainly their best thing. And also, just as a side, it seems to me like Guerrillas of Destiny are kind of trying to not break away from Bullet Club, but trying to form their own identity within Bullet Club. And I think that's a really important thing for them to do, because otherwise they're just going to be, like you said, a bunch of guys.
Yeah, so, it's a similar thing to what you see with Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks as the Elite, where it's sort of a faction within a faction, which, when you've got that many members in Bullet Club, you sort of have to do something like that to make yourself stand out a bit, which is a good move.
Chelsea, what did you think of this bout?
This was my least favorite match on this card. I couldn't get invested in it, and then I tried. All of those guys are good wrestlers, and if I saw them at a live show, I probably would have enjoyed it, but I think TV is just a different beast. They had this technically, very sound match, and I was bored.
I could see what that was. If you compare that to the match that Jay Briscoe had, I've just watched it recently this week, the matches Jay and Mark Briscoe had with Adam Page and Bobby Fish at Death Before Dishonor a couple of months back, and they were hyper into it. They really paced them well. They really knew what they were doing to click on all cylinders, because they're used to the Ring of Honor crowd. And compare it to this, it's a different universe of ability wise. Not that the Briscoes have got worse in 2 months, but they're not clicking with the crowd the way they click with the Ring of Honor crowd. So, though I do think they were more over than last time, I can see what Alex is saying about if they're not over, then why have them as champions? You can't have it both ways, can you? So, all right, then we'll move on to the 8-man tag. Hiroshi Tanahashi, Jay Lethal, Kushida, and Michael Elgin defeated Los Ignorables de Japón, Bushi, Evil, Sonata in a multi-layered match of former champions versus current champions, and trying to tell 3 or 4 different stories at once, with Jay Lethal now a full-fledged face in New Japan as he is in Ring of Honor. This was an interesting little put together there. What do you think, Chelsea? How did you enjoy it?
I liked it. There was a lot of talent in this match. it felt to me like everyone kind of eased up a little bit because of their position on the card. Everybody was great and everybody got a chance to shine a little bit, but it also felt to me like nobody went as hard as they would have if they had been, last or second to last. I actually sort of wished that maybe it just, I'm biased. I love Naito. Naito is fabulous. So I wish that this match had been a little bit later in the card. And I got more excited for Bushi than I normally do, which was nice. But it's still, the internet loves Bushi, so that was good. But I guess I was just a little disappointed that it was shorter than I wanted it to be.
Yeah, no, it could have gone longer, I think, this as well. Shout out to our friend Marcus Green, who, faced with the team of Tanahashi, Lethal, Kushida, and Elgin, must have been very, very happy indeed. Alex, what did you think of this one?
There was a lot going on in this match. So you have the 8 guys in there, and all of them, as Chelsea said, are all very talented guys, all doing their stuff. And then everything sort of, it seemed to hit a point where things started to go a bit wrong. You had the thing with Kushida taking the backstabber from Bushi and then rolling to the outside, and it looked like he'd hurt his wrist or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you had the doctor checking on him on the outside, and then as that's happening, you have Elgin in the ring take, I think it was a kick to the face or something like that, and it's now come out that he's got a broken orbital bone and won't be challenging Naito for the IC title at Power Struggle. He's been replaced by Jay Lethal. Then after the match, you have Kushida get taken out on a stretcher, which I don't know if that was sort of storyline or whether...
That looks storyline to me.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if there was anything, I don't think they'd stretcher him out for a wrist injury, so I'm wondering if the wrist thing was legit and the back thing that they stretched him out for was the storyline or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm. But, it was a good match. There was a lot going on. It was sort of exciting, but then you have those things in there that sort of put a dampener on things and make you sort of think, maybe don't go this hard if you are in this place on the card and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think possibly they're trying to set things up for future endeavours, and I think, to be fair to Los Ignorables, there's a lot of pressure on them now. They're the lead bad guys, they're the lead heels, they're the aces of the heel factions now. And with Chaos, they can switch back and forth. That's the advantage of their duality that we were talking about earlier. And with Bullet Club, they can spread the weight because there's that many of them. But when there's only four guys and you're essentially wrestling in three divisions at the same time and you are going after the aces in those divisions, that does make it... There's a lot of pressure to get over. And I think I think maybe they are trying a bit too hard. And not certainly wouldn't be intentionally trying to hurt their opponents, which sounds a bit strange for a wrestling company, but obviously... It's, way we work. But you know, I think accidents might happen when people are that amped up, you know.
Yeah,
not at all. It's like no blame on them at all. Yeah. Like, they didn't do anything wrong. It's just these things happen sometimes, and it's unfortunate that you had like two injuries happen in one match.
Yeah. Just unfortunate. But hopefully everyone will be okay and we'll get them back to matches. I think we're probably getting Bushi versus Kushida at Wrestle Kingdom. To me, that would be the sensible thing to do. And maybe it helps Elgin, because maybe then he gets the big match at Wrestle Kingdom if he can't do it at Power Struggle. So we will see. But then we had Katsuyori Shibata, who defeated Kyle O'Reilly for the NEVER Openweight Championship. This was brilliant. I love this match. It was fantastic. And it was an abject lesson in how to work around someone who is injured from Kyle O'Reilly, because none of this looked particularly soft, yet it was well organized. Let's put it that way. What did you think of this one, Alex?
Yeah, speaking of injuries. No, I thought this was a really, really good match, and it was really cleverly done. So they did a lot more sort of ground-based, sort of MMA-influenced stuff with a lot of submissions and rolling on the ground, stuff like that, which was a lot safer for Shibata and his injury. And this is the sort of match I expected from him and Bobby Fish last month. I thought it was just really well done. You had a couple of sort of big bumps in there from a suplex or whatever, but you could see that he angled himself correctly, that he didn't land on his neck. It was sort of a masterclass in how to wrestle injured and not aggravate your injury even more, but still have everything look really good and really hard hitting and still make it a really good match. Like, it was slow in points, but it was never boring. And that's something I think that the tag title match earlier lacked, where you had points in that where it was slow and then also you were bored. In this, even though it was slow, you could always see they were doing something, whether it was like transitioning between holds or trying to escape and gain control over something. You could see they were actually working as they were on the ground, even though it was slow. So I thought it was really well done.
This was really a strong style classic, with two very good practitioners of that particular style. Chelsea, what are your thoughts?
So I agree with a lot of what Alex said. It was interesting in this card. I was thinking about it because, like, you have sort of the guys in New Japan Pro who have like the big pretty moves, and then you have the guys who just hit things really hard. And this was in between those two aesthetics. Which I really enjoyed. I wasn't thinking about Shibata's injury because I haven't been keeping up with New Japan Pro. So I guess I was probably sort of like missing that there. I should also mention at this point, I switched streams while I was watching this. So I wasn't watching this with the English commentary anymore. So maybe that's part of why I missed that piece of information. Mm-hmm. But, I just really enjoyed it. I didn't feel like anything was missing because I didn't feel like anybody was holding back at all. I felt like the amount of effort that both of those guys put into that match was just unbelievable. And I really liked the slow build, like the pacing was really well done. And the crowd was so into it. I think the crowd might have been louder during this match than they were for the main event, which is really saying something.
This one goes back to the days of Shinya Hashimoto and Scott Norton, and the slow build, because you watch those old matches. If you watch the first 10 minutes of Shinya Hashimoto versus Scott Norton, it seems terrible, because all that happens is Hashimoto gets his head kicked in for 10 minutes. But then you watch the whole thing in context and it's just amazing. You know, it is breathtakingly good, and you can't understand why Norton can do those things and everywhere else he went nothing happened for him, but they're both so good. And this goes back to that old school strong style approach of slow build, lots of feeling out, make things work, for you that you're always doing something, but it's a bit more like a chess game. So it's back and forth, like a real fight would be theoretically. And this explosion of power at the end is just phenomenal. Alex, what did you think of this? Yeah, this was just a fantastic piece of work. Then we move on to Kenny Omega and Hirooki Goto for the Tokyo Dome IWGP Heavyweight Championship Challenge Right Certificate. They still haven't come up with a snappier name for that than that. the briefcase, as we will say. The rather battered-looking briefcase after Omega put it over Goto's head during the press conference. This was fun. This was good. This was great wrestling. And I think actually possibly better than their G1 Climax final. Do you agree, Alex?
I wouldn't go that far, but I think this was a really good match. I think Goto looked a lot better in this match than he did in the G1 final. But I think the match overall wasn't quite at that level. Straight off the top, you have Goto showing loads of aggression. He sort of attacks Omega before the bell, DDTs him on the briefcase, and he's beating him down, and he looks really good. And the crowd, they boo him at the start, and then quickly they realize, wait a second, this guy's actually, he's showing a different side of himself, and they got into him. I think the thing that let the match down the most was the Young Bucks being there. And it's something that always gets to me with Kenny Omega matches, where he has two sort of modes. He has his serious Kenny Omega, which is what we had in the G1 finals, and what we had sort of the end of this match. And then he has goofy Kenny Omega, who does weird, funny things with the Young Bucks. And the fact that the Bucks were there, like with the table thing and just all that, it sort of took away from it for me and sort of ruined it a bit. And so there was a point in the middle of the match where I was out and I was just like, I don't really care too much about this. It's gone a bit silly. But then the finishing stretch really won me back, and you had some really good stuff at the end. Especially that finishing spot with Goto trying to fight out the One Winged Angel, and Omega managed to get him for it and get the win. I thought that was really well done. And I thought the match overall, aside from that Young Buck stuff, was really good.
I think as well, it doesn't necessarily play to Chaos's strengths, because if you're in Chaos and you know the books are going to be out there, why don't you have two guys out there instead of just one?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's...
Especially when you have Goto, who's meant to be in a tag team with Ishii at the moment. It's like... I mean, fair enough, Ishii was sort of attacked earlier in the show when he came out to confront the Guerrillas of Destiny, but at least someone else in Chaos must be available to back up their partner.
Yeah, you'd have thought so. Chelsea, what did you think of this?
I really liked this match. I gasped when Goto went after Omega before the bell because I was not expecting it. And I stayed like really invested through the whole match. I love Kenny Omega, and I'm really happy for him that he's, you know, had such a great year. And man, the effort that both of these guys put into this match was just amazing. Goto is not one of my favorites, but he tried so hard that I kind of felt sorry for him when he lost. I was really surprised when Goto threw Omega back into the ring instead of letting him be counted out. I thought that was an interesting move. Like he really wanted to beat Omega so badly that he wasn't satisfied if it wasn't like in the ring. I kind of wondered if maybe they're going to turn that into like a longer running feud between the two of them, or if maybe it just, you know, is like, that's who Goto's character is. Like, he always wants to do the like honorable thing.
Yeah.
Either way, it ended up being a strategically not great move for him because he lost. But that was interesting that he sort of like, it couldn't help himself that way, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's their thing. I think someone said on Twitter that Goto managed more character development in this one match than he managed in the previous 3 years. And I think that's probably about right. Mm. You know, the story of Goto was the guy who hasn't quite got there yet. You know, this is the kind of thing New Japan really dwell upon, and that character trait still has to come out. And eventually he will get there, but it's going to take a long while, and it's enjoying that story. And, you know, and for fans who aren't used to it, championships and titles and stipulations in New Japan do change hands on countouts and disqualifications. You know, there is no squib endings in New Japan. If you count it out, it's just as good as a pinfall. So that's why it was important, you know, because normally you think, count out wouldn't change anything, but in this particular case it would. So, yes, I agree with you both. I think this was a really piece of good work. And, yes, I think the Young Buck stuff can be annoying at times, Alex. I agree with you. But I do like the Elites overall, over, as it were. So... I think it's still a bit jarring in the New Japan kind of context. Do you agree?
I think that's mainly what it is, where everything else is taken so seriously. So when you have this in what's meant to be such an important match, it seems a bit of a weird sort of disconnect from what I'm sort of expecting when I watch New Japan. But yeah, I don't know, it may just be me.
And then we moved on to the main event. Kazuchika Okada, accompanied by Gedo, defeated Naomichi and Marufuji. Let's try that again.
Naomichi. Marufuji.
Yeah, Marufuji. No, Naomichi, Marufuji. I've only said that like, how many times did I say that to the G1 climax and didn't get it wrong? Anyway, Kazuchika Okada defended his IWGP Heavyweight Championship successfully. Against Naomichi Marufuji of Noah in, quite frankly, possibly the best match I've seen this year. I absolutely adored this match. And it was a classic King's Road match. This was not a strong style match at all. It was something completely different for New Japan. It was a story told about how hard can I hit you and how much can I stand. That was something very, very special. And it's another string to Okada's bow, and it further strengthens his position as not only ace of New Japan, but as Steve Corino quite rightly pointed out on the American commentary, the ace of Japanese wrestling. Chelsea, what did you think?
Oh man, I was sort of blown away by this match. I was excited right from the get-go, and the crowd was so into it. Like they were ready for Okada. I think this was the best I've ever seen from Marufuji. One of the things I really love about New Japan Pro is that nobody sleepwalks. Like, you have guys who are very clearly in that, like, next level tier of being a huge superstar, like Okada and Tanahashi, right? Like, they're sort of the guys who pull the wagon for everybody else. And in a lot of other promotions, sometimes you get guys who are in sort of a lesser position who will do a good enough job, but quite rightly don't want to kill themselves when they know they're not going to get to the pinnacle. You know, they know they're not going to be one of those top tier A-plus guys. And it's really nice that seems, at least I haven't seen it. It doesn't happen in New Japan Pro where like the baseline effort required is so high that everybody brings their A game no matter what. And Marufuji put so much heart into this match that even though he lost, it was still a really great showing for him, and I was really impressed. It's one of my favorite Okada matches that I've seen so far. It was really, really cool. There were some rough bumps in this match that hurt a little bit to watch. Like, I mean, when Okada took that, it was like a rope springboard suplex.
Yeah.
And then the apron pile driver.
Right on the edge of the apron.
I don't want people to do apron pile drivers because every time it happens, I'm seriously so scared that somebody's going to die, like, right there. Like, I was very nervous for him in that moment.
It's so not really the roughest pile driver I've seen this year. I'll explain that in a moment, but it was damn close. It was just because, especially the way that Marufuji sat out on the edge of the apron, it just made it look even worse. God. But yeah, the moves in this match were just phenomenal. The incredibly stiff. And it was an old school, old Japan style match where everything was about, I'm going to hit you really, really hard. And if you want to beat me, you're going to have to take everything I give you. Alex, what did you think about this?
I thought this match was fantastic. As Chelsea was saying, just some of the stuff in this match was brutal. Like some of the bumps they took and that apron pile driver, especially. I really liked that. There were so many sort of little intricate story details sort of mixed into the match, and it was all perfectly done. Just the story of Marufuji being this veteran coming in and having an answer for everything Okada tried to do. Like, he countered the Rainmaker, I'm not even sure how many times.
Yeah.
And in the end, Okada has to resort to using Marufuji's own move to beat him. I just thought it was really, really well done, and I really enjoyed it. And just the chops that Marufuji was giving Okada were just horrible to watch. Like, right at the start of the match, he hits his chops, and Okada's chest is already bleeding, and then it goes on for another 20 minutes. It was insane, but so well done, and there was so much really good stuff in here that it was just great.
It was just phenomenal, and just the way the crowd reacted to everything. Like, there's a point towards the end of the match where Okada surprises Marufuji with a Rainmaker, one of those half Rainmakers he does when he's desperate, and they both hit the floor, but Okada still has control of his wrist, and he just lifts his hand a little bit, and the crowd see he's still got hold of his wrist, and the crowd goes,
"Yeah." It's like, I think the crowd is part of what made this. I mean, I was reading on Twitter that it was apparently a mix between a lot of New Japan and Noah fans,
yeah.
And I think that really helped this match, where each half of the crowd had their own. It was an ace versus ace match, and
yeah.
Each part of the crowd had their own guy they were really 100% behind, and that made for a really cool atmosphere.
It does remind me of the early GHC Heavyweight Championship matches, like between Kobashi and Misawa and Tayu. Those matches where everyone's so into it, just so into the matches and just so into what they're doing. And it was just like that. It felt like an old school All Japan Noah kind of championship match where everyone's really, really into it and has taken care of all the details because they've told the story that well. You know, it was phenomenal. Just going back to what I was saying, the worst pile driver, depending on how you look at it, worst pile driver I saw this year actually came from Io Shirai, who pile drove somebody off the apron to the floor.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
God.
I think it was intended to be a power bomb, but the person receiving it didn't get their head up in time. It may have been Kairi Hojo, in which case they're very, very lucky.
That makes it even worse.
That's... Yeah. Oh no. No, they can't hurt Kairi Hojo. She's national treasure.
National treasure of every country she goes to?
Yes.
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 Yeah. Oh. But there you go. Yes. So that may have been the heavy-handedest power bomb. I don't know. I think Io Shirai would do quite well in New Japan, except for the fact she's half the size of everybody else.
She'd make it work.
Yeah.
She's tough.
There you go. There's your dream, Mac. Tomohiro Ishii versus Io Shirai sometime next year.
She'd win.
She'd win. You're all right. Okay. Okay. Well, that pretty much covers our coverage for King of Pro Wrestling. What's the next big event, Alex?
It's Power Struggle.
It's Power Struggle. Think,
is it?
Yes, I think it should be, because it's Power Struggle, then we've got the Global
Tag League.
Junior Tag League, then the Global Tag League, which are kind of not nothing tournaments, because the winners of those get title shots, but generally speaking, not a lot's going to happen in the heavyweight division for a while. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, Okada's not defending the title again till Wrestle Kingdom against Omega.
No.
The main event of Power Struggle is Naito and Jay Lethal for the Intercontinental title. So
yeah,
that actually sounds pretty great, though.
Yeah, I think that's going to be really interesting. I think that's going to be cool, to be honest. Lethal's doing some really good stuff as of late, and I like his stuff that I've seen. Thank you for listening to the Troopany Show on the WrestleTalk Podcast Network. Thank you as well for rating us on iTunes and on SoundCloud. I really appreciate it, and we will read out some more of our iTunes reports as soon as we get some more reviews which pertain to the Troopany Show, because I think I read out all the Troopany Show ones last week. So if you've got anything you want to say about the Troopany Show, or any questions you want to ask us or any of our guests, either Chelsea, Alex Watt or Marcus Green, you're more than welcome to ask. You can also put comments into the YouTube videos, and we'll read some of them out as well and answer some questions if you want to. Well, that'd be great. I'd like to thank my guest for today, Chelsea Spollen. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
And that's at Chelsea Comics and Shoulders_up and ShouldersUp.net on the internet there, where you can read some very cool articles from very, very cool people.
Thank you.
That's okay. And Alex Edwards, thank you very much to you, sir.
And thank you for having me.
And that's Alex_Edwards_ on Twitter.
That's the one.
Got that one right.
That's it.
Why is I can't ever get Alex Watts right?
It's the numbers. They throw
numbers.
One off.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. We hope you're enjoying the Wrestle Talk Podcast Network. We have a Finn Martin show for you that went up yesterday, and it'll be the Squash tomorrow with Paul and Gavin, where they will be talking about wrestling. I'm not sure what they were asking for questions earlier, but they're recording at exactly the same time we are. That's a weird thought, that Gavin and Paul are recording a show at exactly the same time.
Maybe we should do a run in.
Shall I call them now? Are they online? I think they are. Anyway, maybe another day. We probably should organise that. Maybe at Christmas. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. And take care, and we will speak to you next week. Take care, and we'll see you soon. Bye.